Taisvis asks Akasha, how is this case of Rosh Hashanah possible, which we said before in dealing with the Lechem Aponim? We know today that if Rosh Hashanah falls out on Thursday, Friday, which is the case by Lechem Aponim Achadasar, then Yom Kippur is on Shabbos. If this is true, how is it possible that they could eat the Lechem Aponim on that particular Shabbos 11 days later? It was Yom Kippur. So Taisvis answers, then the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah were the last day of Elul and Aleph Tishrei. Therefore, when the Edim came in the afternoon of the first day, we were afraid of Zilzal. Therefore, they made 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, one day which was on the last day of Elul, and one day which was on the first day of Tishrei. Therefore, in that particular scenario, it was possible that Yom Kippur could fall out. In this case, where Rosh Hashanah was Thursday and Friday, Yom Kippur came out. Hashem came today, Rosh Hashanah falls out on Thursday, Friday, Yom Kippur would fall out on Shabbos, because today Rosh Hashanah is Aleph and Beis Tishrei. The Shnei HaLechem of Shavuos could not be Deichi Yontif, since only things that are Lachem are Deichi Yontif, but not things that are Ligvaya. Those types of things which were used for the purpose of the Mikdash are not Deichi Yontif. The Gemara says it's possible to plow one furrow of ground and be over on 8 lavin, in other words, 8 sets of Malkus. We then say Hamavashal Gid HaNosha B'Cholav B'Yontif V'Oichlei like a Chamash. You're like a 5 different times for 5 different Yisurim. We then bring down a pasuk in Yecheskel Perek Mem Hei, V'se Achas Min Atzayin Min HaMasayim Mimashke Yisrael. This teaches us, Se teaches us that the Tamid cannot be a Bechar. Achas teaches us that the Tamid cannot be brought from Meiser. Min Hatzayin teaches us that you cannot use an animal in its 13th month. Min HaMasayim teaches us that Arla is Batal B'Masayim. We know the general klal of Bittal is something could be potentially Batal B'Shishim. There are some things, for example, like Chametz B'Pesach, which are not batal b'masho, afilu b'elef lay batal. Mice, truma, is batal b'meya, and arla is batal b'masayim. We see that from this pasuk. Mimashki Yisrael teaches us that it must be something that is mutter to use. In other words, you cannot bring something, you cannot bring tevel, for example, for nesachim. Daf mem ches. If you do 2 separate malachas on 1 Shabbos, you're mechuyev to bring 2 separate karbanas. However, on yontif, you'd only be mechuyev on 1 if you do 2 separate malachas, since we say Ein Chiluk Melachas B'Yontif. We then say that they were troubled for many years exactly what the Machlokes or Rav Eliezer of Yeshua was, if it depends on Hayel or if it does not. The maximum amount of dough to prevent something from becoming Chametz, we say are 2 kaven of wheat or 3 kaven of Se'irin. Another Brice has switched these 2 things around, and the difference is totally in the quality of the grains. That's what the Gemara answers. We then say that Rashi comes to explain, the shear of challah is based on the amount of mun that fell for each person. And this is asiris ha'efa. This is 43 1/5 eggs. And his calculation comes out from the fact that an efa is equal to 3 saw, a saw is equal to 6 kaven, a kav is equal to 4 lugin, and every lug is equal to 6 eggs. Therefore, if you multiply that out, you would get the fact that an efa is equal to 432 eggs. And therefore, an asiris ha'efa, which is 1/10 of that, is equal to 43 1/5 eggs. And if you want to remember this calculation, just remember the abbreviation askalav gudu. Take the word askalav and then put the gimel vav dalid vav. The gimel goes between the aleph and the samach. The vav goes between the samach and the kuf, and so on. And that's how you could remember between the aleph and the samach, which means an efa and a sa. An efa is equal to 3 sa. In other words, gimel from gudu. So askalav gudu will give you this in order to be able to remember how much is an efa and how much is a sa. Regarding taking challah by afias matzahs, we first bake the matzahs, then we put them in a sal, then we take a challah from them as a tziruf. We learn this in Siman Tov Nun Zayin. We then have a Mishnah. Rabban Gamliel says 3 women can knead their doughs together at the same time and wait their turns to use 1 small oven. This is actually a kula. And we're not chayshus that in all this time and all this stuff going on, something will become chametz. The chachamim say, 1 woman should knead, 1 woman should shape, and 1 woman should bake. This is more machmer, because with each person doing an individual thing, like an assembly line, a lot less time will end up traversing through the entire process. Rabbi Kiva says, lahachmer, just like the chachamim, that since different people and different ovens work at different speeds, therefore it's best that each person should do an individual job. He also adds, Zahaklal, Tofach, Tiltush, Betzainen. If the dough begins to swell, then you should, in other words, it starts to become chametz, the woman should dip her hands in cold water and apply it to the dough so it does not become chametz. We actually pass like the chachamim. And because of that, this is the makor, but today when we bake matzahs, we continuously work with the dough, so there's no potential chash of chimutz. Finally, we have a Mishnah that says seyar must be burnt, but one who eats seyar is exempt from karas. And siduk, something which is siduk, must be burnt, and one who eats it is chayef. The question is, what is seyar and what is siduk? Rabbi Yehuda says seyar is when the dough has cracks on its surface, which resemble the carne chagovim, locust horns. And siduk is when these cracks intertwine with one another. The chachamim, who are Reb Meir, say, for both of the doughs mentioned by Rabbi Yehuda, one would be mechuyif. But what is seyar? Seyar refers to dough whose surface color has become pale. And the Gemara brings down Rava, who says that Reb Meir believes that one is mechuyif even when these cracks do not intertwine on the surface, because when there are carne chagovim on the surface, it is certain that within the dough itself, these cracks have intertwined with each other. Daf Mem Tes. We have a Mishnah that says, Arba Ser Shachal Liyos B'Shabbos. What do you do when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos? We know this happens not very often, but it's actually going to be happening in a number of years. We have a Machlokes. According to Reb Meir, we say, Mavir Nes HaKolim Lefnei HaShabbos. One has to get rid of all the chametz before Shabbos. The Chachamim says, one gets rid of the chametz on Shabbos at the regular time. And Rabbi Elazar ben Sadek says that chulin you get rid of on Shabbos. But Shumas chametz you have to get rid of before Shabbos. The Rambam actually paskins, and we follow Reb Meir, which is how we've paskined today, that we get rid of all the chametz before Shabbos. We even have a Mishnah that says if a person is traveling to a Dvar Mitzvah, for example to a Bris, on Erev Pesach, and he remembers as he was on his way to the Bris that he actually left chametz in his house, if there's enough time to return to his house and then come back and do the Mitzvah, then he should go back to his house and burn the chametz. If not, he should leave it there. Since Midaraisa, we say Bitl B'Alma Sagi. We then said that there were two Sudas by Erusin. Erusin is the first step in marriage before Benesuin. The two Sudas were Sudas Erusin, which is a Sudas Mitzvah, and Sudas Sivlainis, which was a Sudas Rishus. That's when the Chassan would send gifts to the Kala. The Gemara says, a kol Sudas She'ena Shel Mitzvah Ein Talmud Chacham Rishai Lehanes Mimenu. Kegain Bas Kain Li Yisrael Bas Talmud Chacham La'am Aretz. Any Suda which is not a Sudas Mitzvah, a Talmud Chacham should not have Hana. For example, like a Suda where a Bas Kain married a Yisrael or a Bas Talmud Chacham married an Amaretz. These are bad mazel. But we do say a Talmud Chacham who marries a Bas Kain, that is a good mazel, and it brings a lot of wealth. The Gemara says, "Kol Talmud Chacham Hamar B'Suda Ise B'Kol Makayim." Any Talmud Chacham who gets involved in a lot of the Sudas Rishus, in other words, he leads a luxurious way of life. Saif Machre Besbeisai Uma Almenes Ishtai. The Talmidei Mishtachach, and he'll cause a lot of machlokes. And why is this true? Since he'll have to travel far to make the extra money to achieve this type of high standard of living, therefore it'll cause machlokes, and a lot of bad things will happen to him. Tanu Rabbanan, the Oilam Yimkor Adam Kol Mashi Yeshlei V'Yisa Bas Talmud Chacham. A person should sell everything that he has in order to marry a daughter of a Talmud Chacham. She emes aygaila muftach loy shabanav talmidei chachamim. The gamkein yasi bita the Talmud Chacham. A person should marry his daughter off to a Talmud Chacham. Mashal leinve hagefen beinve hagefen daver noa umiskabel. It's a mashal to grapes of wine being grafted together with grapes of wine. Two good things coming together. Therefore, it's very well mekubal and it's a nice thing. Avaloyi sabita. A person should not marry his daughter off le'ama aretz. Why not? Mashal inve hagefen beinve hasne. It's a mashal of grafting together inve hagefen from a grapevine with inve with the grapes of a thorn bush, with something from a thorn bush. These two are enemiskabel. They do not graft well together. Therefore, you're not supposed to do that. Tanu Rabbanan, Yisa bas Talmud Chacham. A person should marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham. Lo yimatza bas Talmud Chacham. Let's say you can't find. Then Yisa bas Gedalei Hador. Then you should marry someone who is the daughter of a Gadol Hador. It's very interesting that this comes after a Talmud Chacham. If you can't find this, then you should marry the daughter of a Kehila, or a Gabai, daughter of a Gabai Tzedaka, or someone who is a Bas Melamde Tinaika Shel Beis Rabba. However, the worst thing is you don't want to marry the Bas, the daughter of an Am Aretz. Now, today an Am Aretz is not the same thing. When we call today somebody an Am Aretz, it's not the same kind of Am Aretz that was in those days. And then an Am Aretz is not only someone who is not involved in Torah, Gemilas Chasanim, but it's someone who really hated Talmidei Chachamim a lot. Therefore, it's someone who was not only not involved in Torah, but someone who mamish had a terrible hatred for Talmidei Chachamim. We then say, Kol she'ein ha'isik b'tara, asher le'achol basar v'aif. Any person who's not involved in Torah is not allowed to eat basar v'aif, unless a person is a Talmud Chacham, or he has a Talmud Chacham who is a mashkiach, to be sure that it's kasha. We then say that it's asher to go with an Am Aretz on a trip, since he doesn't really care about his own life. So if he doesn't care about his own life, Kol she'ein, he doesn't care about your life, if you come to a dangerous type of a situation. The Gemara says, "Sainin amaaretz l'talmid chacham yoiser misinas shesainin ovdei chachamim as Yisrael." The jealousy that an amaaretz has and hates a talmid chacham is even worse than goyim who hate the Jews. This is certainly a difficult Gemara to explain. How really is it possible that an amaaretz who is a Jew should hate a talmid chacham more than a goy does? The fact is, as we know, in many places in Jewish history, that sometimes there is more sinas chinam within Klal Yisrael than there is amongst the Goyim towards the Yidden. In other words, sometimes we are our own worst enemy. In fact, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. This Gemara, though, is speaking about the special bad feeling that an Am Haaretz specifically has for a Talmud Chacham. And in fact, the Gemara brings down a mashal. They bring down a story about Rabbi Akiva. The story of Rabbi Akiva was that Rabbi Akiva said to his Talmidim that once upon a time, before I was 40 and I was an Am Haaretz, I hated Talmidei Chachamim so much that I wanted to bite them like a chamor. I was like a chamor. I wanted to bite them like a chamor. His Talmidim said to him, Rebbe, why do you refer to yourself in those days as a chamor? Why don't you at least say you were a kelev, you were a dog? So he answered, because a kelev bites and doesn't break bones, but a chamor bites and break bones. That's how much we hated Talmidei Chachamim so much. Finally, the Gemara says that the minimum shear needed for Birkas HaMazon or for a mezuman is that you have to eat a kezayis together with the other people. Rabbi Yehuda says, Shir of a Kebeah. Dafnun. A lot of very rich and chashuv people in this world who are respected very much will not be respected in Elam Haba, but Talmidei Chachamim will be respected there. Rabbi Yosef Amar, Shehu Ra ba'olam ha'al-yayna, olam hafuch. He said when he was up at the olam ha'al-yayn, he saw a switched around world. El-yaynim lamata, v'tachtaynim lamala. People who were high on the social ladder in this world were low down over there. The people who were low in this world were high there. V'haya amru ashrei misha balakan v'talmidai biyadai. If a person can remember what he learned in Torah in this world, those are the people who will do very well when they get up to Shemayim. The Marsha says that it's easier to remember learning in this world if a person writes it down. We then say that in the time of Mashiach, the borders of Yerushalayim will get bigger. And because of the spoils of the Goyim by Melchemes Goygu Magoy, Jews will be very wealthy and will donate a lot of money to the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. We also say that in Yemais HaMashiach there will not be any poor people. And in Zechariah, Perek Yudalit, the Pasuk, V'haya Hashem L'melchol Kol Ha'aretz, Bayemo Yeh Hashem Echadosh Me'echad, we have numerous drushes in this, including that in Zman Mashiach we will only make the bracha of Hatayv V'Hametiv, versus today where we make Hatayv V'Hametiv for something good, Baruch Dayanemis for something bad. Rava, during his shir, he wanted to be darshan the shame Yudke Vavke. Amar Le'ahu Saba, somebody came to him and said, we learn from the pasuk Zeshmi li'olam v'zeh zichru li'dar dar, that the name of Hashem is Helam, it's hidden, so we shouldn't darshan it in public. And we know, according to the Shita of Taisus, which is brought down in numerous places, that when we learn Ha'hu Saba, who came, this is usually referring to Eliyahu Hanavi. This marks the end of the third parak. Now let us begin the fourth parak of Psachim, Makom Shenahagu. Here we have a Mishnah that says, Makom Shenahagu Lases Melacha Biarve Psachim Ad Chatzais, Eisen. Makom Shenahagu Shalei Lases, Ein Eisen. We know that from after Chatzais on Erev Pesach, it's usher to do Melacha. The question is, what about before Chatzais? So the Mishnah says, in the places where the minig was to do the Melacha before Chatzais, then you're allowed to do Melacha. In the places where the minig was not to do any melacha before chatzais, then you're not allowed to do it. Ha'alech mimakam sha'aisin lamakam sha'ainaisin. Oy mimakam sha'ainaisin lamakam sha'aisin. Let's say you go from one place to another, you're a traveler, and you go from a place that doesn't do it to a place that does, or vice versa. Nayagin alav chomrei makam sha'yatza misham, the chomrei makam sha'halach l'sham. You're mechuyev to do the chomre legavi both places. Va'al yishana adam mibnei ha'machlekes. A person shouldn't cause machlekes by not doing according to the minhagim of the place where he is, or in general, a person shouldn't cause machlekes in, irregardless of even if he's doing a chumrah of his original place. The reason for this whole isur about doing malacha, especially after chatzais, is that since we brought the carbon pesach on that day, therefore you have to be machmer not to do malachas. The Gemara says, "Kol ha'isa malacha be'erev Shabbos mishas mincha ulamayla, ein aroya simin bracha li'ayla." A person will not see a simin bracha from this. And we say, even if a person is lazy, and he normally wouldn't do any work anyway on erev Shabbos, you would still get the schar from refraining, even in this type of a situation. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, li'aylam yasik adam b'tayra u'mitzvahs afal pi shalei lishma. A person should do Torah and mitzvahs even if it's shalei lishma. Even if a person is doing a mitzvah to get covered or to make money, it's still okay to do it, because we say shemitei shalei lishma balishma. The Gemara says, "Hametzapel l'schar ishtai ein aroya simin bracha." A person relies on his wife to make a parnasa for him, and she does the work. Ein aroya simin bracha. A person does not see bracha from it. Aisav, and how is it possible if a person is learning in Kailul, for example, and a wife goes out and works? How do you see simin bracha from that? So the Gemara answers, the only time that a person does not see simin bracha when his wife goes out and does work, that's only if she does very lowly work. However, if she does something which has a little bit of chashivas to it, for example, maybe she's a computer programmer, for example, or she's teaching in a day school, where there's some kind of chashivas to that, that's okay, because we see, as we say every Shabbos at Eishes Chayil, sadin asasa vatimkar. If a woman is making sheets, that's okay, and that's actually bracha. So if a person does something which has a little bit of chashivas to it, that's okay, and if a wife does that, they will see simin bracha from something like that. We then say dalad prutais and bahem simin bracha. There are four professions which do not see brachas from them, from the work that they do. Mitur gemanin, a person who's a translator. Why? Because most translations are done on Shabbos. Schar yusaimim, if a person makes money from dealing with the assets of yusaimim. Ma'is habas mimedinas hayam, you're relying on nisim because they're coming from all the way across the sea. And schar kaisvin, scribing. However, if a person does this lishma for a purpose of a mitzvah, then that's okay and he will see bracha from it. We then say that a city that is makabel a minig must continue to maintain that minig. We learn this from the pasuk of Shema b'ni Musar Avicha v'al titayish teras imecha, pasuk in Mishle Perek Yud Aleph, and we learn this is Oiska Paskin Yerodeya Simen Reish Yudalad Sif Beis. Here we have the shaila of Yontif Sheni Shagolius. We know that if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you keep one day of Yontif, but if you're in Chutz Laaretz, you keep 2 days of Yontif because of Minig Aviseinu B'yadeinu. The question is, what happens if an Israeli travels from Eretz Yisrael to be in the United States just for Pesach? Or if an American goes to Eretz Yisrael to be there just for Pesach? Of course, one must ask a shaila in these types of situations. However, generally speaking, we see in Shulchan Aruch Simen Tav Tzadik Vav that if an Israeli comes to the United States, even if he intends to return to Eretz Yisrael, he must be careful not to do malacha in a populated or public area. The shaila is if he's allowed to do malacha in a private area. Ayin Bigris Maisha Arachayim Chela Gimel Sif Ayin Beis. Regarding the temporary American in Eretz Yisrael, we know that the Chacham Tzvi was Mekel and held 1 day of Yontif is enough. However, the Magen Avram in Simen Tav Samaches and Rav Moshe Feinstein Zichron Levracha Paskin L'Chumra, and they said that visitors to Eretz Yisrael must keep 2 days of Yontif. Daf Nun Aleph. Dvarim Hamutarin V'Acherim Nohogu Bahem Iser Yatar Shaila Atirim Bifneihem. If people have are machmer on certain things, you're not allowed to do it in front of them, to do the kula before them. We then say that a person can go to the bathhouse together with everyone except his father, father-in-law, husband of his mother, and husband of his sister, and his Rebbe. Rabbi Yehuda says it's okay to go with his father if it's for the purpose of serving him. The same thing would apply to a student going to a bathhouse with his Rebbe, if it's okay, if as long as it's to serve him, then it's okay. If one goes from a place where they do a malacha to a place where they don't, or vice versa, you must always follow lahachmir so as not to cause a machlekes. Daf Nun Beis. Reb Nosson Bar Asya ozel mi bei Rav l'pumpadisa. He went chutz l'tchum on the second day of Shavuos, so they put him in Cherev and to Shamta, even though it was only in Isser derabanan. We say that there are three regions of Eretz Yisrael regarding the clearing of Peres Shmita, Yehuda, Ever Hayarden, and Golil. Peres that were transported out of Eretz Yisrael before the Zman Habir. The Zman Habir is when you put them in the streets for the animals to eat them. In other words, Kola Lachaya Min Hasada. It can be done in Chutz Laaretz at the proper time, whenever that time is. Shimon ben Elazar says they must be returned to Eretz Yisrael in order to do the beer, but you cannot do them in Chutz Laaretz. We then say that Peres Shviyas must be eaten, and they're not allowed to be wasted. In other words, you're not allowed to make firewood out of them. Unless the fruits are not fully developed, then there's no chiyuv of eating them. Daf Nun Gimel. we bring down different times and shiurim of kol lechaya min hasada. The Gemara even says simin laharim milin. How do you know whether an area is an area of mountains? You look for oak trees. Simin lahamakim, to valleys. Dekolim, date palms. Simin lanacholim, to streams. Arkanim, are reeds. Simin lashvela, the simin that tells you something is a shvela, is plains. Is shikma, the sycamore trees, that you would see there if it was plains. We then say ein mevi'im bikurim ela mi shivas haminim. Mikurim are only brought from the shivas haminim, gzera shava, eretz to eretz. We then have a mishnah. And this mishnah discusses mechamer behema. The isser of mechamer behema, leading an animal to do work, also includes the isser if a guy uses a Jew's behema on Shabbos. Therefore, in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, they were geyser not to lend certain animals to a guy. And they also had an isser of not to sell a behema gasa to a guy. The Mishnah says some places also had minhagim not only to sell behema gasas to a guy, but also not to sell behema dakas to a guy either. And these are not beasts of burden. In other words, behema dakas are not beasts of burden. Therefore, they couldn't possibly do malachas anyway. But they were machmer on themselves not to sell them these either. Some people also had a minig to eat roasted meat on the night of Pesach tzli. And the Gemara says that it is usser to say on a behema that's living, harei zeh lepesach. Why? Because it looks like shchutei chutz. The Gemara says that if a person says, harei alai karban mincha min ha-so'erim, he is pater from a karban, since a mincha is normally brought with chitin, and not with sarin. And Rav Shimon says, a person is pater, im lo hisnadev kederev, kederech ha-misnadvim. If a person is misnadev, not the normal way that people are misnadev for a particular thing. The Rambam says, we paskin like Rav Shimon. We then say, kol ha-matil melei lekis shel talmidei chachamim, zeichav yeshiv b'yeshiva shel mala. A person who does business to support a talmid chacham will sit up there with him in yeshiva shel mala, like we learn in Koheles, u'b'tzeil ha-chachma, b'tzeil ha-kesef. That the two, both Torah and the monies, will sit together in the same shadow up there in Shemayim. We then have a Mishnah that says some places light a candle on the night of Yom Kippur, and some places do not. The reason some places do not is because there's no Suda like there is on Shabbos. If, however, Yom Kippur was on Shabbos, then they do light Altz Kavod Shabbos. And a person is supposed to do light their minig. Today we do light on the night of Yom Kippur, and we make the bracha of L'hadik Ner Shoyem HaKippur. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, Ein mevarchin al ha'ar ela b'motzoi Shabbos, hayil b'tchilas b'riyaseyo. The only time you make a bracha b'orim y'ori ha'esh after Yontif, or after Shabbos, is only b'motzoi Shabbos. And that is because tchilas b'riyaseyo. But b'motzai Yom Kippurim, where this doesn't apply, you do not say Barim Yoyah Ha'esh after Yom Kippur. Ula says, you do make a bracha Barim Yoyah Ha'esh on a candle after Yom Kippur, and this is how we paskin. Daf Nun Dal. The Rishonim explained that we light Or on Motzai Yom Kippurim to show that although Havara is mutter normally on Yontif, but it is not mutter on Yom Kippur. It comes to differentiate this from a normal Yontif. This Or is even more of a Chiyuv than Motzai Shabbos. If on Motzai Shabbos, for example, you do not have a candle, so as you learned in the Gemara in Bracha Sandaf Nun Gimel, you can skip Eish, you don't have to do it at all. Mashen ken on Motzai Yom Kippur, you have to go out mamish and get one, because this is a very special halacha on differentiating Yom Kippur from other Yomim Taivim, where another Yomim Taivim Havara is Mutter, and Yom Kippur Havara is Aser. The Gemara even says that 10 things were created on Erev Shabbos during Bein HaShemashos, including the rainbow, the letters of the Aleph Beis, and the light of Gehenim. And 7 things were created before Brias Ha'ilam. Those 7 things were Torah, Tshuva, Gan Eden, Genhenim, Kisei HaKavod, Beis HaMikdash, and the Shem of Mashiach. And the Gemara brings psukim for all these 7 things, including the pasuk of Gan Eden Mikedem. Why wasn't it Gan Eden Bikedem? It means Mikedem that it was actually there before Brias Ha'ilam. Tanu Rabbanan, Shiva Dvarim Mechusim Mikoladim. There are 7 things that are hidden from man. Yom HaMisa is one of them. Therefore, a person will always want to do Tshuva. Yom HaNechama, consoled from Tzaras. Yom HaKadin, Ma Beliboy Shachaverim, Bameh Tishtacher, how a person will make Parnasa, Malchus based of it, in other words, when Mashiach will come, and Malchus Raimi, when it will be destroyed. We also said 3 other special things. Number 1, a person who is Nifter emits an odor, so people will not want to keep the body around. Number 2, a dead person, a person who is Nifter, becomes forgotten to reduce the Tzar, so it ends. And number 3, that wheat should decay to reduce hoarding. We also say that coins were made instead of just relying on bartering. We even have a Mishnah that says on Tisha B'Av some places did work, some places did not, but a Talmud Chacham should be machmer not to do work on Tisha B'Av to increase the feeling of Avelus. We then say, Ein Tanis Tzibur El Tisha B'Av Vilvad. a Tainus Tzibra, as we learn in Tainus Daf Yud Beis, includes Isra Melacha, the fact that it begins at night, and Ilas Hasandel is Asr. We then say that Tisha B'Av Ben Ashmashus is Asr about Achila Safik Yayim, Safik Laila. The Gemara says if a person gets stuck in a desert, he has to keep 2 days of Yom Kippur, since it's Safik Kviya Diyarcha, Mashenkin on Tisha B'Av, which is only a meter Rabbanan, he only has to keep 1 day. We say a woman who is expecting or who is nursing a child must fast on Tisha B'Av just like she fasts on Yom Kippur. Finally, we say the differences. There are three differences between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Number one, in Yom Kippur, you daven Ila, on Tisha B'Av you don't. Number two, everything on Yom Kippur is a Safik Daraisa. Therefore, you have to be Machmer, Mashenkin on Tisha B'Av, it's a Safik Darabanan. And number three, on Yom Kippur, Malacha is Aser. On Tisha B'Av, it's only Aser, B'Makam Shenahagu. Tafnunhe. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says everyone should be like a Talmud Chacham and not do work on Tisha B'Av. And we're not afraid of Yehara. We're not afraid that if a person acts like a Talmud Chacham, he'll become a Baal Gaiva for acting like a Talmud Chacham and not doing Malacha on Tisha B'Av. The Gemara says that a chassan on the night of his wedding is considered torud, he's considered busy, so therefore he's pater from Kriya Shema. However, if he wants to, he's allowed to say Kriya Shema anyway. Today, halacha lamais, we paskin and siman ayin, that a chassan must recite Kriya Shema even on the night of his wedding. We then have a Mishnah that says on the night of Erev Pesach, and of course this is only referring to a case in the areas where we don't do malacha on the morning of Erev Pesach. Beis Shammai says that Malacha on the night of Pesach in this situation, the night of Erev Pesach, Malacha is Aser, and Beis Hillel says that Malacha is Mutter. We then have another Mishnah, and according to Rashi, this Mishnah is referring to places where the minig was not to do work on Erev Pesach. There are certain instances where you can do Malacha on Erev Pesach. According to Rav Meir, it's okay to do Malacha if you satisfy two conditions. Number one, you started it before Erev Pesach, so therefore you can continue it on Erev Pesach. And number two, it's something that you need for Yontif itself. The Chachamim say there are three craftsmen who can do Malacha on Erev Pesach even before Chatzais. Tailors, barbers, and launderers. And Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda also adds a fourth person, shoemakers. We then say doing Malachas on Chol HaMoed is Aser Midrabanan, but it's Mutter if it's a Dover HaAvod, a situation where a person will lose money. And according to Pshat and Rashi in the Gemara, there's a machlokes here between Rav Huna and Rav Ami. Rav Huna says this is only mutter on Chol HaMoed if it involves a minimum amount of tircha and there is the potential for a high amount of loss. Rav Ami says you could have either one or the other. You don't necessarily need both. And the machlokes here is tali in the following. According to Rav Huna, only lehefsid meruba chashishu. We're only chashish if you're going to lose a lot of money, but we're not chashish for hefsid muet. According to Rav Ami, lehefsin mu'ed chashishu also. Daf nun vav. Chizkiyahu HaMelech did three things, and the Chachamim praised him for it. There were also three other things which he was not praised for. But the three things that he was praised for was one, for getting rid of the book of Refuas. Number two, for getting rid of Moshe Rabbeinu's copper snake. And number three, the fact that he dragged his father, Achav, who was a Rasha, he dragged the corpse of Achav on ropes in public. The Gemara then says we say Baruch Shem Kvayd Malchusay Le'olam Va'ed as a part of Kriya Shema, even though it's not part of the psukim that are in the Torah. And this is because Yaakov said it. How do we know that Yaakov said it? Because we learned in Bereishis. Vayiko Yaakov al Banav, Vayomer, Osvu Vayigidu Lachem, Bikei Shakov Lagalos Lebanav Kates. Yaakov wanted to be Megal to them the time when Mashiach would come. Then it's Dalkom Mimenu Shchina. Amar, Shema Chas V'Shalom Yesh V'Bitasi Psul, Ka'avram Shiyatsu Mimenu Yishmal, V'Av Yitzchak Shiyatsu Mimenu Esav, Amar Levanav Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Amru Kishem She'ein B'Libcha Ela Echad, Kach Ein B'Libeinu Ela Echad, Ba'is Hashah Pasach Yaakov Avinu, V'Amar Baruch Shem Kvad Malchusay L'Olam Va'ed. So because he said it, we say it today also, but since this particular Pasach of Baruch Shem was not in the Torah, and the Rabbanim were worried about it, we say it quietly. The Gemara says you're not allowed to take dates on Shabbos that fell from the top of a tree, since we're afraid you may pick them. Shema Yala V'Yitlash. And we say that if an animal dies on Shabbos, so now this animal becomes a nevela, you're not allowed to feed this nevela to a dog on the Shabbos because it wasn't Muchan before Shabbos. And finally we say Peya is exempt from Trumas and Meisers. Daf Nun Zayin. Abishol said there were big trees, sycamore trees in Yericha, and strong men, Kohanim, used to take them by force. Therefore, they were geyser, but these sycamore trees became hektish. We then say there were Kohanim Gedolim, whose sons were treasurers of the Beis HaMikdash, and they used their power wrongfully. We then say that the Azara, the temple courtyard, gave out four cries for a variety of things. And finally we say that Kvasim, Kaidmin, Le'izim, B'chal Makam. Kvasim, lambs, always have Kadima before Izim, before goats. This marks the end of the fourth parak of Masechta Pesachim, and it concludes the chelek of Pesachim, which we call Pesach Rishon. And with this, we will conclude today's shiur.